preached this message. Almost, I was looking back through the audio records. It was almost about 2 years ago. We used this title before, One-Way Salvation. Every time I think about it, I always think about our Elder Williams. This was her kind of thing that she kept before the saints, that this is a one-way salvation. And this morning, we want to talk about that a little bit, all right? As we said, we have a lot of scriptures because we don't want anyone to say that this is what we say, but you want to look at what the scriptures teach and be able to align yourself up with it. Now, as we have been saying over the past couple of weeks, especially when we are witnessing to people, now this is a lesson or a message you definitely can use in your witnessing, because it is the plan of salvation. Open up your Bible. Tell them to open up their Bible and show them what thus saith the Lord in Scripture, so that they won't have to take your word for it. They can see it for themselves, all right? Yes. Now, our text is going to be coming from three particular passages in Acts chapter number 4 and 12, in John chapter number 10, and also Hebrews chapter number 3. Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 12 says, "Neither is there salvation in what? Any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we what? We must be saved." So that's where you get the concept of one-way salvation. There are not multiple ways to be saved. There is not a by-chance way. There's only one way to be saved. John chapter number 10, verses 1, 7, and 9 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a what? A thief and a robber. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." Verse number 9, he says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be what? Saved. And shall go in and out and find pasture." Now, we gave you two pictures there. One of a one-way sign. That's a very familiar one as you're driving, as you're walking. And then the other of a sheepfold. And you notice there's only one way to get in that sheepfold. Now, anyone that tries to climb over that stone wall or that wood fence or whatever you want to call it, they're coming in the wrong way. And Jesus said they're thieves and what? Robbers. Not saying that they're not going to try. They will try to get in, but the Lord says there's only one way to get in. And he says, "I am the door. I am the way to get in and be saved." So that's why that supports Acts 4 and 12, where it says there's no salvation in any other. There's no other name. Jesus is the name that provides salvation, or that gives access to salvation. Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 3 says, "How shall we do what? Escape. If we neglect." That word neglect means disregard or ignore. "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first was began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that did what? Heard him." Now, if you do not come in this one way, there's only another way that leads to what? Destruction. There's only one path that leads to life. And Jesus is that path. Jesus is that door, and he has given us his name to save us. You try to go in another kind of way, the Lord says you are a thief and a robber. If you try to go in another kind of way, the Lord says you are on a path to what? Destruction. And the writer is telling you in Hebrews, how are you going to escape? If you say, "Well, I'm not going to come in by Jesus. I'm going to come in another kind of way." Jesus is asking you, how can you escape if you neglect, if you disregard, if you ignore this great salvation. He's the one that laid it out. He is the one that provided the salvation. And he is telling you and I, if we don't do it his way, we will have to face sin's judgment. All right? Now, looking at these scriptures, when we're talking about being saved, we need a savior. And the only one that can save is Jesus. Let's each one of you get one of those scriptures. The only one that can save is Jesus. He is the only savior. That's what makes him God. He doesn't give that power or that authority to no one else. He doesn't share it with anyone else. He is God. He is the only savior. And that's why, you know, when you have people that are in other religious or spiritual teachings and they say that there's more than one God, there's a problem, because that means that you're trying to say that God is it shares his authority or his power with someone else. But you are going to see in these scriptures that there is only one savior. And that's what man needs. Man needs a savior. What do you need someone to save you from? You need someone to save you from sin's habit, sin's guilt, sin's dominion, sin's penalty. According to Romans 6:23, the wage of sin is death. You need someone to save you from that. And Jesus says that he is the only savior. All right? Let's read some of these scriptures. Isaiah, what does it say? 43, verse number 3.
The Lord thy God, yes. The Holy One of Israel.
Look at it. Jesus says, I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel.
Uh-huh. Thy Savior.
What is he? He is the Savior, uh-huh. Right?
Yes. I gave Egypt for thy ransom.
Yes.
Ethiopia and Saba for thee.
Yes.
In verse 10, ye are my witnesses, says the Lord,
mm-hmm.
And my servant who I have chosen, that ye may know and believe.
That's right. Now, everybody's not going to know this. Everybody is definitely not going to believe this. You tell people all day long, Jesus is the Savior, and they go and they turn their nose up at it. They walk away from it. They say, oh, I don't have time for that. Well, the writer is telling you in Hebrews, how shall you escape if you utterly disregard, utterly ignore this great salvation? Who is the great salvation? Jesus. He is the Savior. He is the one that saves the man or the human from sin. And it says here in, what is it, 43:10, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have done what? That's why you thank the Lord you're in the church. The Lord chose you to be right where you are. The Lord gave you the same message that someone else has ignored. Same thing that said unto you, someone else had that heard that very same thing, but they just utterly disregarded it. And the writer is telling you, to that person, they are not going to escape. Ain't that something? I don't care who they are. You are not going to escape. One day Jesus is going to call and you are going to answer. And you're going to have to give an account for the things that you've done in this body, whether it's good or whether it's bad. And if you have not known and believed that Jesus is the Lord, Jesus is the Savior, if you have not sought Jesus to save you from your sin, you're going to die in your sin. That's the truth. That's the truth. So you are my witnesses whom I have chosen, that you may know and do what? Believe me.
Understand that I am.
That's right. You need the Lord to work on your mind. You're living around so many people that do not believe that Jesus is the Savior. They don't believe that you've got to serve the Lord. They don't believe you got to live a clean life. That's all holiness is a clean life. They don't believe you have to do certain things. Yeah, I was hearing and reading. People were saying, oh, it's okay to divorce. It's okay to do this. Just don't stay in an abusive relationship. First of all, the Lord never told you to go marry somebody you ain't got no business marrying them. The Lord put marriage in the earth for the earth to be able to be replenished. That's what he said. He told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and do what? Multiply. So you think about this. When people get ready to get into relationships, you better make sure that you consult Jesus. Jesus, is this the person that I am supposed to be with? Else you'll be just jumping from person to person. And the Lord said, this should not be.
This should not be. If you looked at your first original parents, Adam and Eve had no choice but to get along. They didn't have any other options. There was no other creature available to Adam nor to Eve. They had to learn just to work together, whether they agreed or disagreed. That's what marriage is. The marriage vows tells you that, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death us do part, right? We are in this till the death, right? That's the truth. That's the truth. That's the truth. And you think about the logic of that. The writer is telling you this. The Lord is trying to open up our understanding, huh? Working on our minds as to what holiness is. Huh? What way pleases Jesus? What way is like Jesus, right? Come on, that's the truth, saints. That you may know Jesus, believe Jesus, and understand that Jesus is the I Am. He is the self-existent one. He does not share his authority or power with anyone. He is God all by himself. He's the one that created both heaven and earth. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. He lighteth every man that comes into this earth. If you utterly disregard that information, you will not escape his wrath or his judgment, right? The wage of sin is death. He said that the soul that sinneth, it shall die, right? You're not going to escape that judgment. He's the only one that can save you from that. He's the only one that can save you from his wrath. One side of Jesus is salvation. The other side of Jesus is judgment. Only one that can save you from that judgment side is the side that saves you. Huh? And you ought to let Jesus save you. You ought to do like David said, Lord, have mercy upon me. Blot out my transgression. In other words, get rid of the sin. Save me, right? That you may know, that you may believe, that you may understand that Jesus is the I Am. Huh? That's true. He is the only God. There is no God before Jesus. You say, who was before Jesus? There is nothing before Jesus. Who created Jesus? No one created Jesus. He was not created. Y'all understand that? Jesus was not created. He is the creator. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is from everlasting to everlasting, right? That's the truth. That's what the writer says. Before me, there was no God form. And neither shall there be what? After me. Keep going to 11.
I am the Lord.
Yes. Beside me, there is no what? That's the truth. Jehovah can't save you. Allah can't save you. Buddha can't save you. Not believing that there's a God at all can't save you. Either way, you're not going to escape. If you neglect this great salvation, if you waste this thing called time trying to figure it out, the only way you're going to figure it out is you've got to come to Jesus. He says that you may know me and believe me and understand that I am he, right? And beside me there is no Savior, right? That's the truth. Can't nobody else save you but Jesus. Can't nobody save you but Jesus. Look at chapter number 45, 21 through 22.
To tell ye and bring them near.
Yes.
Yea, let them take
counsel. That's why, folk, I don't understand the concept of people thinking that they can come to church when they want to come to church. You can't do this if you want to do it. You got to realize this salvation is a must.
Yeah.
If you say, Elder Scudder, I want to be saved from sin, this salvation is a must. It's not if it's convenient. It's not if you feel like it. It's not if you need if somebody else is going to help me, then I'll do. Then if it's not no must, then if it's a must, you do it regardless, huh? You do it regardless. It's the condition of you escaping, huh? That's the only condition you will escape, is if the Lord does what saves you. And part of your salvation, according to the scripture, is someone telling you to come near. Huh? Come on, come near. When you come to church, you're coming near Jesus. You're coming to church to get into the presence of the Savior. You say, well, it's because I can get in his presence at home. Yes, you should be taking his presence home with you. But there is a time when you are hearing a message. There's a time when someone is calling you, telling you to do what? Come. Huh? And you need to be obedient to that voice. When the Lord says his church doors are open, he's telling you something to do. Meaning you've got to put into action whatever he's telling you to do. He says, tell ye, bring them what? Near. Huh? In other words, leave your house and come close to Jesus. Come into his presence. Huh? That's why David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the what? The house of the Lord. In other words, you got to leave your address and come to the Lord's address. The place where Jesus resides. This is holy ground. This is where Jesus resides at, right? Tell ye, bring them near. Huh? Together. That's what we're doing. All of us are in here listening to the word. We're letting the word counsel us. Huh? We're letting the word open up our understanding. We're letting the word encourage us. We're letting the word motivate us. Huh? That's the truth. You can sit around and waste your time if you want to. You're going to need Jesus. You're the one that's going to need the Lord. Your back is going to be up against the wall and can't nobody help you but Jesus. That time is going to come in your life where you're going to need Jesus, right? That's the truth. And if you ain't ready, if ain't nobody counseled you, you're going to be sitting there looking, what should I do? Where should I go? I don't understand all of this. You need to come so the Lord can do what? Counsel you. So the Lord can open up your understanding. He is a mind regulator. He can regulate your thinking. He can open up your understanding, right? That's the truth. It's true. The Lord don't want you to be sitting around on no sickness of bed and say, I'm going to give up. That's not the spirit of the Lord. Not when he come that you might have life. We ought to be holding on to life with everything inside of us. Huh? Jesus is our life. I ain't talking about the stuff you breathing in and breathing out. Jesus is your life. Do you understand? In him we live, move, and have our being. You can't do nothing without Jesus. You can't do nothing without the Lord. Let them take counsel together. Keep going. He's been telling this from a long time. Long before you even thought of. Long before your mama. Your mama's mama, your mama's mama was even thought of. This is an ancient message. Huh? This is a message that goes way back to the beginning. He's been saying the same thing from the beginning. Huh? Keep going. What has he been saying? Uh-huh. That's what Adam and Eve couldn't understand. They thought they were missing out on something. When all they had to realize is they had Jesus. Come on, saints. That's all the devil is trying to make you forget. He's trying to make you ignore that fact. He's trying to make you pay attention to stuff that don't mean nothing. But at the end of the day, you need Jesus. At the end of the day, you need Jesus. And if you got the Holy Ghost, you should be confident in that thought. Regardless of what I go through, I have the Lord. Huh? Regardless of what I go through, I have the Lord. And if I got Jesus, I got everything that I need, right? If I got Jesus, I got everything that I need. I got everything I need to face eternity. You ain't got no Jesus, you ain't ready for no eternity. Huh? You ain't ready to go into eternity if you haven't been saved. You haven't been delivered from your sin. You ain't ready to cross over. Huh? Somebody look around and talk about, I'm tired. I need to rest. You ain't going to find no rest. You stop breathing on this side and you ain't got no Jesus. You ain't going to find no rest. When you cross over, your eyes are going to be open. And you're going to be in a flaming fire. For how long? For eternity, right? Your soul is going to be tormented in the flames. You talking about you need some rest. You ain't going to find no rest outside of Jesus. This is why it's so important to understand we need the Savior and that Jesus is the only Savior. Don't let the devil fool you because you're walking in the wilderness around a bunch of people that do not know, that do not believe, that do not understand. You need to know that you have the Lord. You have the self-existent one living down on the inside of you. You know the name of the Lord. You know the name of the Lord is a strong tower. If you just stay right, you can run in that name and find safety, right? You got to stay right, though. You can't run in that name if you ain't right. You got to stay right. Some folk want to come running in the name and they know they haven't gotten rid of sin. They know they haven't turned away from sin. They just completely ignore that word repent. Huh? And the Lord told you to repent. That word repent means to turn away from the sin. Then if you say, Lord, I don't want to live like a sinner no more, then the Lord said, let the name do what? Save you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Let the name of Jesus save you. Let the name of Jesus deliver you, right? Let the name of Jesus make you right. Huh? And when the Lord make you right, you can run in that name. And the Lord will save you, right? The Lord will save you. He says, have not I the Lord? There is no God. Huh? But Elder Scudder, I see the Jehovah's Witness building up a building. Honey, all they doing is building up buildings. They ain't got no salvation. Huh? See, Elder Scudder, I see the Baptist and the Methodist and the Catholic and everybody else got all of this money. They all on the television. They got all of these people, these celebrities that come to their church. They ain't doing nothing. They have no Savior. You need to be somewhere where the Savior is. You need to be where Jesus is at, right? You need to know he does not dwell in temples made with hands as though he needs anything. The earth is the Lord's, right? This whole earth belongs to Jesus. He doesn't need you, nor does he need me. He doesn't need the things that we possess. You walk around thinking the Lord need what you got, you're only fooling yourself. The Lord can snatch it all away from you. And then you'll realize, look, I own nothing. Huh? Lord will snatch it all away from you. He'll put you on your back where you can't do nothing to help you to realize you are nothing. You are completely dependent upon Jesus for everything that you do, right? Well, the Lord said, without me, you can't do anything. That's the truth. There is no God beside me. What is Jesus? He's a just God. That's why you can't let the devil fool your mind to make you sit up there and complain, make you murmur, make you sit up there and say, it's not fair that all this stuff is happening to me. You serve a just God. He does what he wants when he wants. Huh? But it don't make no sense, Elder Scudder. I'm in here serving the Lord, yet I'm getting sick. Who are you? Jesus is sovereign. He does what he wants when he wants. He can open up the door of affliction on you as much as he wants to. Huh? You dare not turn your back on Jesus. That's what makes him a just God. In other words, he's fair. Huh? You open up your understanding, you realize the same affliction you're going through ain't no different than anybody else going through. You ain't nobody special. Same thing happened to you, happened to everybody, right? But the difference is you got the Lord, right? That's the difference between me and everybody else. I got the Lord. I know where my help is at. I know whom I believe in. I know who opens up my understanding. Huh? That's the truth. He's a just God, and he's a what? A Savior. And there is, that's why the writer said, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none beside him, right? Then he tells you to do what? Look to me. Look at who? Look to Jesus. Stop looking at people. People say that all the time. They let the devil get in their mind, even in our church. They let the devil get in their mind. They say, oh, Elder Scudder's not like Bishop Johnson. If Bishop Johnson was here, he would have never did X, Y, and Z. But if you listen to Bishop Johnson, he told you flat-footed, don't you be in here serving me. Huh? Don't you be in here looking at me. You better pay attention to Jesus. Jesus told you himself, look unto me. Huh? Jesus is your Savior, right? Jesus is your Deliverer, right? Jesus is the steadfast one. He is the one that does not change. People change. Huh? Bishop was born, Bishop died. Elder Scudder is born, Elder Scudder is going to die. But in the midst of all of this change, you better look unto Jesus. Huh? You better see Jesus through it all, right? You better hear what the Lord has to say. Lord done told you to do what? Look unto me. Huh? Look unto me and be what? Be delivered. So that Lord, Elder Scudder, I'm seeing something that ain't right. You better look unto Jesus. He's the only one that can save. He's the only one that can deliver. Elder Scudder, I'm hearing things that I didn't used to hear before. You better look unto Jesus. He's the only one that can save. Huh? Oh, but I'm looking at how the saints look. They don't look like they used to look. You better look unto Jesus. He's the only one. Huh? Come on. He told you never look at me. He told you to look unto him. Huh? And be what? Be ye saved. Who? All the ends of the earth, right?
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Not just sometimes. You need to always be looking at Jesus. I'm telling you, looking at Jesus, you ain't got no room to complain. If I'm looking at Jesus, I ain't got no room to look at you, no hear you, no see you. Because I'm too busy looking at Jesus. He's too busy satisfying me with his presence. His desire that my joy be full. If I look at you, you're going to empty out my joy. If I listen to you, you're going to empty out my joy. But if I look unto Jesus, he will always save me. He will always be my fulfillment, right? He will always make me content. Hey, in whatever state that I'm in, right? If I just simply do what? Look unto Jesus. And do what? Be saved. Be saved means to be delivered. The Lord will pull you up out of that mess. That's what these brothers going through, right? They're sleepy. But if they look to Jesus, he'll do what? He'll pull them up out of that mess. I'm trying to tell you, if you look at me, I will make your eyes heavy. But if you look at Jesus, he will satisfy you. He will satisfy you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord will satisfy you. I don't care how bad you feel. The Lord will, he'll lift you up. He'll make you feel all right. Elder Scudder have not been feeling good for days. Y'all understand this? My body has been aching. I still got my taste and my touch, my smell. So I know I ain't got that. But I done picked up something. And I know my body's not feeling like it wants to. But I dare not stop serving the Lord. Yes, I can take off from work. Yes, I can say I'm going to stay in and do this and not do that. But when it comes down to serving the Lord, Jesus is my life. Jesus is the center of my joy. He told me to look unto him and be saved, right? Why would I come up short with that? Why would I live beneath that privilege? Why would I sit there and wallow in my sickness when the Lord says, if I just look at him, he will save me. Save me from what? My bad feelings. He will deliver me, right?
Hallelujah.
That ain't what no man promised. That's what Jesus promised. He said, look unto me and be ye saved. All the ends of the earth. For I am God. He didn't say we are God. He says I am God. Jesus is the I am. He's the great I am, right? And there is what? None beside Jesus. Ain't that something? I'm glad I understand this, saints. What's the next scripture? Hosea. Is this Hosea 13:4? What's Hosea 13:4 say?
Yes, I am the Lord.
That word yet means beside all of this. Huh? Come on, saints. Every now and then life brings us to those moments when we just go through and we are in the midst of going through. And you need to snap yourself up out of it and read a verse like this. What does a verse say like this? Elder said, I'm feeling bad. Yes, I am the Lord. Is that Jesus talking? Amen. Say, Elder Scott, everybody seems like they're turning their back on me. Jesus says, yet I am the Lord, right? That's why you need to turn a deaf ear. You need to utterly ignore all of these other teachings, all of these false prophets, all of these false witnesses. You need to recognize that these people don't have no Jesus. I don't care how much they talk about them, they ain't got no Jesus. And if they don't have no Jesus, I need to ignore them. Why? Because they're bringing me false teaching. And the Lord told you to watch out for those kind of people. They are led by the spirit of Antichrist, right? Here you trying to get closer to the Lord, and then you listening to somebody that's filled with Antichrist. They are against Jesus. Huh? You may have them in your home. Somebody that's filled with Antichrist. They are against Jesus. You may know somebody in your family that's filled with Antichrist. You say, Elder Scudder, they're sweet people that ain't got nothing to do with what they're filled with. When you see them, you try to bring them Jesus, and they reject Jesus. They're only rejecting Jesus because they're filled with Antichrist. And you that know Jesus need to pray for them. Say, Jesus, be a savior to them. Deliver them, Lord Jesus. Open up their understanding. Help them to realize that without you, they can't do it. Huh? Lord says, yet he is the Lord. Huh? Even when you were in Egypt, even when you were in bondage, even when you were in your sin, that did not stop Jesus from being God. Huh? Even when you didn't recognize that he was God, that did not stop him from being God. That's true. Read a little bit more. And that's the truth. Lord don't want us to know no other God but him. Why we sit up there listening to other folk? Jesus don't want you to know no other God but him. And what else does he want you to know? There is no Savior beside Jesus. Your doctor is not your Savior. But my doctor told me, your doctor is not your Savior. Huh? What a surgeon told me, your surgeon is not your Savior. Huh? Come on, does everybody understand this? There's only one Savior. Huh? Come on, there's only one Savior. And you got to come into the church to hear about the Savior. Huh? Come on, is that the true saints? Amen. You need the Lord's preacher to tell you about the Savior. Huh? The Lord's preacher will preach to you the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only Savior, right? That's the truth. Give me another scripture. What does it say? Luke chapter number 2 and 11. This day, in the city of David, a Savior. What was born this day? A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Jesus Christ is the Savior. Everybody understand that? All in the Old Testament, you kept reading about the Lord, the only Savior. Jesus says, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, right? There's only one. There's only one. Matthew 1 and 21, we should be able to quote that. She shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Huh? He shall save. Isn't that something? Jesus is the Savior. He's the only one that can save you from sin. I feel bad for you when you think you can just go through life in sin and be all right. Some people are all right feeling like that. You tell them, come on in here and cry to the Lord. I'm not feeling all that great today. I need to just rest. But that means you okay staying in your sin. I'm not okay staying in my sin. I love that woman that had the issue of blood. She said she was not okay with that issue. Huh? Could she have stayed home? Yes. Did she have every human reason to stay home? Yes. She was sick in her body. But yet she got down on her knees and crawled to Jesus. Huh? Why? Because she wanted to be saved, right? How bad do you want it? How bad do you want to be saved?
Thank you, Jesus.
Huh? Thank you. That may mean you can't let no sickness stop you. Not when you want to be saved from out of your sin. Huh? You can't let family stop you. Peter said, save yourself from this untoward generation. This group of people that are going away from Jesus. When the Lord told you to tell them and bring them near. This group of people are going away from Jesus. You don't want to fall in line with them. Huh? See, it's because they done bumped me in line. Well, you better bump yourself up out of that line. Huh? You don't want to be in line with them. They on their way to the pit. Huh? Many folk, once they see hell, will be trying to get away from it. But they'll realize that they are powerless. Huh? Isn't that something? It's amazing that one person today is going to stop breathing on the earth. And when they stop breathing, they're going to see hell right there. And going to try to get out of it. And they're not going to be able to, right? Here you are, yet in the land of the living. Huh? And Jesus is telling you, I am your Savior. I am your deliverer. Huh? Don't you utterly ignore. Don't you utterly disregard. Because you will not escape. Huh? Everybody understand that? I'm trying to help you out, saints. You will not escape.
Thank you,
what's Titus 2 and 13 say?
2 and 13 reads, looking for that blessed hope.
Looking for that blessed hope.
And glorious appearance.
That's what you're doing when you get Jesus. Okay. When you're saved, you're looking for the blessed hope. Jesus is my hope. Amen. Everybody understand that? Amen. Jesus is my hope. Jesus. I dare not trust it, the sweetest friend. But I got to wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock. Can you say that, saints? On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. Know all the other ground. Everything else is sinking sand, right? He is my hope. He is my hope, saints. We're looking unto who? What did that verse say?
Looking
for that blessed hope.
Of that great
that's what happens when you start talking to folk that may be in here that ain't got no hope. They abandon the hope. How you know they abandon the hope? Because they stopped looking at Jesus and started looking at everything else but Jesus. When the Lord told you to look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Huh? He said, oh, Scott, did you see such and such and such? No, I didn't see him because I was too busy looking at Jesus. The only one that should see such and such and such when they get off is the pastor of such and such and such. If you're not the pastor, pay attention to yourself. Everybody heard what I just said? If you are not the pastor, pay attention to yourself. Look unto Jesus. Did you hear what such and such said? No, I didn't hear. Why? Because I was too busy looking unto Jesus. When you look at Jesus, Jesus will talk to you. And while Jesus is talking, you need to turn a deaf ear to everything else so that you can clearly hear what he had to say, right? That's true. Just look to Jesus. But you can always tell when folk paying attention to stuff they should not be paying attention to. But because they become grumpy. They become miserable people. Huh? They're little sour people. Huh? Now everything is just a negative thing. There's nothing positive. Huh? They always looking long faced it, huh? They always talking long faced it, huh? And I ain't talking about that stuff when they get up and testify. I ain't talking about that stuff when they getting up and singing. I'm talking about when they're with you by themselves, or when they're just sitting there and nobody's bothering them. Look at their disposition, huh? Just turn around and look at their face. And when you see their face, they're grumpy people. They're unhappy people. And you ought to say within yourself, I don't want to look like that. I don't want to be like that. Huh? When you go talking to somebody like that, they're going to give you how they're feeling. And if you don't want to feel like that, you better leave them alone. Huh? Why? Because they are existing without no hope. Huh? They ain't got nothing to look forward to. Huh? They ain't got nothing to look forward to but death. That's why they miserable, they blind, because they ain't got nothing to look forward to but death. But when you got an opportunity to see Jesus, you're happy, right?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
When I believe Jesus is coming for me, I'm happy.
Amen.
I go outside the door looking up happy.
Amen.
I came outside the Cracker Barrel, saw all them storm clouds, saw the wind blow. I said, ooh, Jesus, is the day today? Huh? I was happy. Huh? I was looking at all the wind. Because every time I feel the wind, I say, oh, that's Jesus. Because can't nobody blow no wind like Jesus. I feel it. I say, oh, that's Jesus. Jesus is just all around me. Huh? Letting me feel his breath, right? That's the truth. He's the one that does all of these things. Look into that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great. Who is the great God? Jesus. Jesus is the great God, and he is our Savior. Who is the great God and our Savior? Now, why would you ignore something like this? Lord already told you he is the great God, and he is the Savior. And then it identifies who the great God and the Savior is. At the end of that verse, it says Jesus Christ. Same one that says, beside me, there is none. Isn't that sweet?
Yes,
I'm glad I know this, saints.
Yes.
Now, Jesus gives the only plan to save us from sin. He doesn't give us multiple plans. There's only one way. We know what John 3:3-5 says. Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That let me know, if somebody want to see the kingdom of God, they got to look to Jesus. They got to look to Jesus. They got to look to Jesus so Jesus can save them. Huh? Say, Elder Scott, I can't see it. Well, you need to look at Jesus. That's why we don't preach ourselves. But we preach Christ Jesus the Lord. We want you to look at Jesus. Huh? Because I'm not going to be able to go home with you. No. I can't go home with you. Huh? I can't go to the doctor's office with you. Huh? I can't be in those tight, intimate circles with you. When there's nobody there but you. But someone else can be there right with you. Huh? Someone can be right there with you. His name is Jesus. He said, I can be with you always. Meaning in every circumstance of your life. You can have Jesus right there with you. You can see him and he can save you, right? Isn't that a beautiful thing? You can see Jesus. And he can do what? Save you. What that verse say? He said, but all this good, I'm having a hard time. That's why you need to look to Jesus. You need to look to Jesus so you can be saved. John 3:5 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of both what? Water and the Spirit. You saw the illustration we gave you on the track. It's like a door that has two locks. Huh? We have heard several people quote that thing down to the years. I got to have my two keys. I got to have my two keys. Sometimes I think they are punishing themselves because they keep repeating the plan over and over again. I got to have my two keys. And I'm wondering, when are you going to get them? What are you waiting for? The Lord done told you, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open up the door, Jesus said, I'll come into him. You should be asking yourself at every tarrying service, every time you come in here and hear the word and you leave out this place without the Holy Ghost, you should be asking yourself, why? What is wrong with me, right? What is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? When the Lord done told me he's at my door, he's at my door, right? And all I got to do is do what? Open up the door. Why would you leave without Jesus? When all of it is up to you. All you got to do is do what? Open up the door. I'm glad I had a mind one day to open up the door. Huh? I had a mind to say yes to Jesus. We preached that message last week. How to say yes to the Lord. Don't let all these messages go on deaf ears. It's trying to help you. Get your soul saved, right? That's the truth. That the man is born above what? Water and the spirit. He cannot. He cannot. He cannot. Right? And I told you, you try to come up another kind of way, you are a thief and a robber. Jesus said, I am the door. Huh? Jesus says, I am the door. In other words, he is the key to unlock both of those locks. Water and spirit. You've got to do it all through Jesus. Huh? One writer said, whatever you do in word or in deed, do it all in the name. Huh? That's why you thank the Lord opened up your understanding to say, I need to be baptized in his name. Because one day you were out there thinking you were all right because you went down in his titles. Huh? You went down in his identity. Huh? He is the Father. Yes. He is the Son. Yes. He is the Holy Ghost. Yes. But what is his name? What Father are you talking about? What Son are you talking about? What Holy Ghost are you talking about? I'm so glad I know, I believe, I understand Jesus is, right? Jesus is. Huh? That's the truth. Jesus is. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number
9. You are not in the flesh.
See, that's what I'm trying to get you to understand. Stop getting on your knees calling Jesus in the flesh. Huh? You trying to receive the Holy Ghost fleshly. So you say, well, I'm down there saying Jesus, 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 but you're in your flesh. Huh? You're in your flesh. What are you talking about? I'm in the flesh. You're using your mouth without your mind. Huh? Oh, yeah. You're using your mouth without your mind. You need to put your mind on Jesus. Huh? You need to call Jesus before it come out your mouth. You need to be calling him in your mind. You need to push everything else out of your mind and keep your mind full of Jesus, right? Does that make sense? You're calling him fleshly. See, Elder Scudder, I'm calling him. I'm crying out to him. Fleshly. But where is your mind at? Huh? Where's your mind at? Only one that can tell is you. Lord, know your mind and you know your mind. I don't know your mind. The devil don't know your mind. Huh? Yeah. Don't nobody else know the mind but Jesus. How do you know? Because the Lord says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jesus said, I, the Lord, I search the heart. Heart he's talking about is your mind. I search that mind. I try it. In other words, I put it to the test. I examine it. I look it over. Huh? You need to look yourself over. Jesus is going to look you over. You need to look yourself over. See where you are at in the faith. Huh? Come on, read it. Is that all of it?
8 and 9, but ye are not in the flesh.
Yes.
But in the spirit.
Uh-huh.
If so, that the spirit of God dwell in you, and any man have...
So where must the spirit dwell at?
In you.
The Holy Ghost got to dwell on the inside of you. That's why I tell you, you don't need no counterfeit. You need to stay down there and keep on calling on Jesus until you get him down on the inside of you. If he is not there, don't you stop calling Jesus until Jesus comes on the inside of you. Why, Elder Scudder? Because if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is what? Isn't that deep? Isn't that deep? If you don't have the Holy Ghost inside of you, you don't belong to Jesus.
That's right.
But you say, my mother was sweet. My daddy was sweet. My children are sweet. My brother and my sisters were good people. The scripture says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his, right? Y'all better have that embedded in your mind. Don't let no devil fool you, saints. Read the next scripture. Whoever's not found written in the book. Revelation 20:15. If your name is not found written in the book. What book? The book of life. Where are you going? You're going to hell, right? You're going to be cast into the lake of fire. That lake that burneth with what? Fire and brimstone. Selfish God, I don't want to go there. Well, you better get yourself saved. Huh? You better get yourself saved and you better stay saved. Does that make sense? Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 38. That's a famous one. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. Who? Every one of you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission. For the removal of sin. So that you don't have to face sin's wage. Huh? And you shall receive the gift. Acts 2 and 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall do what? How can you be saved if you don't come through the name, right? You got to come through the name of Jesus. See, Elder Scott, I'm sick of y'all church. Every time I turn around, y'all, all y'all want to do is call Jesus. Because we're trying to be saved. Huh? Trying to be saved and trying to stay saved. And the only saving name I know is Jesus. Jesus done told you there is no Savior beside me, right? So I can't never call Jesus enough. Y'all understand that you can't never call him enough. That's go with Romans 10 and 13 says the same thing. Shall come to pass, and whosoever shall do what? Call upon the name. Name of the Lord shall be. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Had not heard. How shall they believe on him? How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without the preacher? And how can he preach unless Jesus sends him? Right? Jesus is not divided. Does everybody understand that? Jesus is not divided. That's why I felt sorry for that young man that was in here. He thought, because he left out, and I know he called several of you. Told you, y'all come over here to my place and let me teach you. Jesus is not divided. Why would the Lord bring you in here, save you here, and then give you a mind to go out and pull us out from where you say the Lord saved you at? Does that even add up? Now look at him. Now see, if you would have followed behind him, you'd be in the same condition. Huh? That's why you can't believe everything you see. That's why the Lord told you to look unto who? Jesus. Huh? Folks are going to come and go all the time, saints. I'm trying to tell you, that's what goes along in this turf. People are going to come and go all the time. But you better keep your mind on Jesus. He is your Savior. Not me. Jesus is your Savior. Huh? Jesus gave us this plan. And you see, it starts with that word, repent. Huh? Come on, y'all, keep me moving. I got a couple, a little bit more minutes. Repent. This is why you see repentance is not no option. Everybody think, oh, say, I can come on in here, shed a cup of crocodile tears, and then I'm ready for salvation. No, you're not. You need to repent. Well, what does repent mean? Why do I got to repent? Because the Lord said so. Look at Luke chapter number 13, verse number what?
Three
and verse number 5. I tell you no. That word nay means no. I tell ye nay or no except or mean unless you repent, you shall likewise perish. Do you want to perish? No. Well, that means you got to repent. You got to stop all that wrong. You got to have a mind not to do the wrong. Huh? That's the truth, saints. Verse number 5, I think, said the same thing.
Except you repent,
you shall all likewise perish. Aren't you glad you know that? Repentance is not an option. It's a must. You got to repent. When you do wrong, you got to repent. Say, Elder Scott, I did that wrong 20 years ago. It ain't go nowhere. You still got to repent. Huh? Mother done told you even in her old age, she's had to go back to her mother. Huh? Now here mother is a grandmother herself, had to go back to her mother. Say, Mama, I don't want you to think I did this or that. I am sorry. Forgive me, right? That means that sin don't go nowhere. You got to learn how to do what? Repent. Huh? Especially if the Lord bring that thing up in your mind. He bringing it up for a reason. You got to deal with it, right? I said something I shouldn't have said. I looked at somebody a different way. Huh? I was wrong. Yeah. When you wrong, you need to repent. Say such and such as brother. No, you wrong. You wrong. You shouldn't have said that. Oh, I don't know what you're talking about, going about your business, but I'm trying to tell you, you're not going to go back with Jesus until you repent. Huh? I don't care how much you shout. I don't care how much you quicken. I don't care how much you think you're speaking in tongues. What you're talking is not Jesus. How you going to tell me? Because I know when the Lord don't bless you when you wrong. Huh? The word to a sinner is repent. You need to stop your wrong first, right? Amen, Lord Jesus. Repent. Huh? What's Acts chapter number 3:19 say? And be. That word converted means be changed. Huh? That your sins may be what? Isn't that truth? Huh? Where's that time of refreshing coming from? That's right. That's why we come in here to church. The church, when you come to church, you're coming into the presence of the Lord. That's why you don't want to withhold no repentance. You don't want to withhold getting rid of that stuff that's not like Jesus. Why? Because when you come into his presence, you need him to refresh you. Do you realize the Lord can't refresh you when you got a whole lot of mess in you? Huh? Why would the Lord take your spotted garment and sit up there and be doing all this on your spotted garment? What is he doing to the garment? He ain't doing nothing but making it worse. The spot is spreading now. Lord told you, you need to do what? Repent. Get rid of that spot first, right? Let the Lord clean you up, right? That's the truth. Does that make sense? It makes sense to me. Read the next chapter, next scripture. Is this 8:22? Acts chapter number 8:22? Huh? Repent therefore of this. Do y'all understand this, saints? See, you can't get around trying to be wicked. You think you're going back with Jesus and you wicked and evil? Lord told you you need to do what? Repent of your wickedness. Hold up now. Now, come on now. Y'all, now, this is too much. This is too much understanding. I think we need to do some soul checking in here. When you being wicked and being evil, Lord told you you need to repent from that thing, right? Repent from your wickedness, and you need to go to what? But you don't understand what they did to me. Jesus said, "Stop! I'm not concerned what they did to you. I'm concerned what you are doing right now, and what you are doing right now is in your heart." Y'all understand that? It's a core inside of you. It's a source inside of you that's not like Jesus. And Jesus said, we need to deal with that, right? Lord said, don't shout over it. Don't praise over it. But you need to do what? Repent. And then you need to go in prayer. Huh? You need to go in prayer and ask the Lord to do what? Take it away, Jesus. Isn't that what David says? David said, Lord, take away this thing. Huh? He said, I don't put my sin on the back burner. I keep it ever before. In other words, Lord, take this thing, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. See, this is not the right spirit. If you had the right spirit, why would the Lord tell you to repent? There's no need to tell you to repent if you're doing right. But when you're doing wrong, you need to repent. When you made wrong decisions, you need to repent. Huh? Is that scripture? I don't want to go outside the book. He's telling you to do what? Repent. Repent from your what? Your wickedness. Do what? Pray. Pray to God to do what? It wasn't the Lord's fault. It's in your heart. And you need to ask the Lord, take that thing out of me, Jesus. Huh? Take that thing out of me so that I can be what? Right. Huh? That's the truth. Next scripture. What does the Lord command you to do? He commands us all to do what? Repent. He commands us all to do what?
Repent.
Next scripture.
20 reads, but show first unto them Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea.
Yes.
And then to the Gentiles.
Yes.
They should repent and turn to God and do works.
All right. So in other words, when you repent, you don't go back and keep on doing your wickedness.
Right.
You do works that are what? Meet for repentance. Huh? See, if you say, Elder Scudder, I don't want to cuss no more. Well, then that means you stop cussing. And now you do works meet for repentance. In other words, you take the cussing out of you. Huh? Cussing is not an option no more. Yeah, I feel it coming out. Well, you need to bite your tongue. But my tongue is bleeding. That lets you realize then you need to really stop it. If you really get sick of your tongue bleeding, you'll stop. Well, every time I go around them, then maybe the cue is for you to stop going around them then. All I hear all the time is cussing. Well, maybe you need to change who's around you then. That sounds real good right there, doesn't it? You need to do works that are meet for what? Huh? Elder Scudder, why don't we go and listen to all kind of ungodly music? Because the Lord called you out of that. If he called me out of that, I'm not going to go back out there and do works that support that. Huh? Lord, call me out of it. I'm not going to go there no more. Say, Elder Scudder, well, if you danced in the club before you got saved, we say, now we're going to go to the roller skating ring. Well, you know in the roller skating ring, they play music. And the music, they play, and people be in there dancing. Huh? But you say the Lord called you out of that. Well, I ain't going to the club. It ain't no difference. It's still the same music. When you say the Lord change your life, you need to do works meet for repentance. Use your brain. Use your brain, saints. Don't add up. Do it. You be shaking your hips and you be wondering what's wrong with your mind. I told you that before. You got to be careful about that. Every time you're moving, it may not be Jesus. You need to make sure it's the Lord that giving you a mind to do these things. Right? That's the truth. That makes sense. Come on, read another scripture. Y'all know that when the Lord says, but let the wicked forsake his way. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Let the wicked do what? Forsake his ways. And the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him do what? Return unto the Lord. For our God would have mercy upon him. Our God will do what? Abundantly do what? Pardon him, right? He's got to be willing to forsake. That's what that word repent means. To forsake your ways, right? Does that make sense? Next one. Revelation chapter number 2, 21 and 22. And then 2 and 5. This is going to be a good little meat one, but I wanted to give it to you all. I gave it to you, but I don't get to them all. You have it there. What is the Lord giving people? He's giving you space, meaning time to do what? That's right. So that lets you know people have a choice. Don't you choose wrong because they choose wrong. Lord says, I'm giving you space to do what? Repent from your wrong, right? Keep going. With her. Isn't that something? That's right. So see the remedy to this problem? The remedy to that problem was repentance. But he'd already told you with that verse, the first verse she said, Lord said, I gave her space to repent from her fornication. But what? She would not do it. Now, because she don't do it, don't mean you going to go along with her. Both of you are going to be cast into the problem, right? Lord said, I'm going to bring both of you into tribulation. What's 2 and 5 say?
Remember therefore
from whence you have fallen. Yep. And repent.
And do the first
works here. That's right. Isn't that something? I've seen the Lord do this. I've seen it. You don't want this to happen to you. You don't want the Lord to remove your place out of his church. Huh? And he'll do it because you refuse to do what? Repent. He gave you space and time to do what? And you wouldn't do it. The Lord said, I'll move you out of here, right? I've seen him do that. He said, Elder Scudder, that you shouldn't do that, but that's what the word says. Lord said, that branch that don't bear fruit, I'll cut it off. You don't want to be like that, do you? You want the Lord to cut you off because you refuse? You stubborn? You like that fig tree? Lord said, ain't nothing growing on them. Fig tree knew the Lord was hungry. Lord wouldn't have been hungry if the Lord wasn't hungry, he wouldn't have went to that fig tree. But that fig tree was rebellious. Oh, yes, it was. Because when it should have had figs, it had nothing. And the Lord says, because you have nothing on you, don't let nothing grow on you no more. You want the Lord to look at you and say that about you?
No.
I don't want the Lord to do me like that. I want to make sure I stay in a workable state with Jesus. Huh? All right, now, my time is just about done. Let's just hit a couple of these in these sections. You see, the first step in salvation is repent. We just went over that. The second step is what? Be baptized. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. We know the famous scripture, Acts 2 and 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission of sin. If you look at Matthew chapter number 28 and 19, that was the instructions given by Jesus. But then the disciples or the apostles had to carry that instruction out. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The key word there is in the name. Now let's see what Acts says. Acts means the actions of those that were following Jesus. And you will notice in all of their actions as it relates to baptism, they used the name. They did not say Father, Son, Holy Ghost. They used the name. Acts 8 and 16.
As yet he was Father, Son, none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Ain't that something? There they go. They were baptized how? In the name. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts, what is it, 10, 47 and 48. These were people that had received the Holy Ghost. Huh? They had the Holy Ghost. How many keys is the Holy Ghost? One. But you notice Jesus told Nicodemus he had to be born of both what? Water and spirit. They had the spirit, but they had no water. And Peter said, can we forbid them water? Is that 10 and 47? I don't want to quote it wrong. Can we forbid them water that these should not be baptized? So that lets you know you can receive the Holy Ghost before baptism. They had the Holy Ghost, but they had no water. Isn't that something? And he commanded, it wasn't an option. I just want y'all to understand this. It's not an option. You've got to follow the Lord's plan. He gives two keys, water and spirit. Without both keys, the door is locked. Does that make sense, saints?
Yes. Baptize them in the name of the Lord. Yeah.
That he tarries certain days. Isn't that something? Acts 19 and 5.
When they heard this,
uh-huh.
They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Yeah, you see that? When they heard the word, they were still baptized in that name. Now, you notice you ain't seen Father, Son, Holy Ghost yet. All you've been seeing is the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, right? Next one. Acts, what is that?
22:16. And now while I tarry thou, arise.
Arise. Uh-huh.
And wash away thy sins.
How am I going to be baptized? How is my sin going to get washed away? Calling on the name of the Lord. Know ye not that the Lord, he is God. Right? At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Things heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Right? That's the truth, isn't it? And you also have to receive the Holy Ghost. You got to receive the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues as Jesus gives the utterance. On the day of Pentecost, if you look at Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 4. Acts 2 and verse number 4. Ain't that something? So that lets you know you don't have no Holy Ghost if the Lord ain't speaking through you. You can go around and start making it up if you want to. Huh? You can make up a tongue if you want to. But you and your tongue is going to wind up in hell. Huh? You better make sure it's Jesus in there talking to you. Huh? You better make sure your spirit is talking with his spirit. And his spirit is talking with your spirit. Huh? That's the truth. You better make sure it's the Holy Ghost, and you better make sure it's Jesus that gave you that tongue. Because if not, you'd be messing around and you'd be doing what James is talking about. Where it says James said that tongue is a world of iniquity. It's an unruly evil. If you ain't careful, you'll be blessing Jesus out of it and cursing men out of it. See, if you got the Holy Ghost, you don't do stuff like that. Huh? You got the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost don't have you cussing nobody out. Boy, a cuss word slipped out. Well, you don't have no Holy Ghost. You better go back to the altar and ask the Lord to, what it say? It say repent and pray. Huh? Lest that evil thing that is in your heart, right? I said I was sorry. No. The Lord say repent and pray. Huh? You need to go talk to Jesus, right? That's the truth. That's the truth. Someone get John 7, 38-39. I ain't going to read all of these. Y'all can read them on your own, but I need to see that you need to receive the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues as Jesus gives the utterance.
7:38, John 7:38-39.
Yes. Out of his belly flow rivers of. See, when you got the Holy Ghost, you got rivers of living water inside of you. Huh? Isn't that the truth? When you got the Holy Ghost, you got rivers of living water inside of you. It's springing up. That's what the Lord told that woman at the well. You come and drink the water I got to give you. It'll be in you. It'll be like in you like a spring. Huh? Springing up into what? Everlasting life. But you drink of the water of this well, you will drink again. Huh? As you go back out there and drink in sin, you're going to have to go back to that well over and over again. Because there's no satisfaction in sin. Sin don't satisfy you. Sin does not fulfill you. Only one that satisfies the soul is the Lord Jesus. Hey, what did he say the rest of it? I'm sorry.
But this spake he of the Spirit.
But this spake he of the Spirit. Huh? Huh? Who going to get the Holy Ghost? Only those that do what? Believe on Jesus.
The Holy Ghost was not yet
given. So that lets you know Jesus is the Holy Ghost, isn't he? John chapter number 14. Read that one. We'll stop. 14:17-26. Y'all got a couple of them in John. Read the rest of those in John for me, and then we'll stop. I'll close up my book. Well, you got 14, 17, and then 15, 26, and 16, and 13, and then we'll stop. Who is the Holy Ghost? The Spirit of what? The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth. The world can't get this. Huh? That's why we say we don't participate in political stuff. I don't tell you who to vote for. I dare not tell you who to vote for. I'll tell you this fact about whoever's on the ballot. All of them are liars. Say, Elder Scudder, well, who should I vote for? I don't know. Nobody. You gotta look at the list and see who can give you the best opportunities for your money. But they can't do nothing for your soul. Right. Tell you flat-footed, you better not be voting based upon your soul. You better be basing upon you being able to benefit in this world. Huh? So they going to lower your taxes, you get my vote. You're going to give me some jobs, you'll get my vote. Huh? You'll lower property taxes, you'll get my vote. Huh? Yeah, you got to go based upon that. But I ain't going to be looking for somebody to benefit my soul. How one liar going to help me in my soul? They need Jesus to deliver them from that lying spirit. So therefore, we don't get involved in the politics. We just let you know all of them in sin. And that the wage of sin is what? That's the truth. That's all we keep before you. And you vote how you choose to vote. But don't you go around talking about that your vote is the vote. Because I'm going to tell you all of them are liars. Isn't that sad? You got to choose which one is going to be the better liar. That's sad. I feel sorry for over there in Jersey, Sister Fisher. Y'all got one coming up now. Both of them, I look on the ticket, I say, both of them is just liars. One liar telling on the other liar. And you get sick of hearing all of the lies on the television. You get sick of hearing it. You get sick of hearing it. You realize one of them going to win. And when they get in there, they're going to keep right on lying. Huh? They don't want you to hear everything that's behind closed doors. They say, how does the government operate in this mess? We lie. We do what we can do for 4 years and pass the junk off into another one. And another one picks up the junk and carry it for another 4 years. And it's just an ever revolving circle. Huh? Never solve anything. Potholes don't never get filled. Guns just keep on coming into the city. People still keep dying of drugs. Isn't that something? You think you be voting? Oh, it's a shame crime is like this. If I was in office, I'll put an end to it. No, you won't. You can't stop sin. Only one that can deliver from sin is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the only Savior, right? Huh? That's what they fooled him running behind Barack Obama because he said, hope. Hope. He kept seeing his face. Hope, hope, hope. Barack Obama ain't got no hope. Barack Obama's in sin just like the next fella. And they learned that lesson real quick. He was a sinner just like the rest of them were sinners. They said, oh, no, we done mess around and let Trump. At least one thing I will say about Trump. At least you knew where that man stood at. You might not have liked what he said, but at least you knew where he stood at. If he didn't like you, he let you know. I don't like you. You're doing something I don't like. It's amazing to see him turn his face. He would have somebody say, oh, this is the best person for the job. That man getting a job don't do what he want. He's the worst. I don't know who he is. He needs to be fired. He needs to be shot. You're like, whoa. He's telling you how he feels. Tell me, all right, come on. Give me a little bit more. Is that all of it?
Oh, verse 17.
Spirit of truth.
The spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive,
because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you see the spirit of truth. Jesus. Who is talking? Jesus. Jesus telling them, you're looking at the spirit of truth. Jesus is the spirit of truth. He dwelleth with you and shall be where? Isn't that beautiful? The Holy Ghost is Jesus where?
In you.
You literally have God himself living inside of you. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Come on, give me the next one. It's only two more. 15, did you read 26? And the comfort, I know you said, Elder Scudder, come on, this is a long, but I got to give you the word. I'm sorry. This is the plan. I don't want nobody else to fool you concerning salvation. There's only one way to do this. What's 15, 14 and 26 say?
Okay,
but the Comforter, which is the what? The Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send how? See, there you go again. They go to key, the name. He will do what? See, that's why if you say you got the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost should be teaching you what to say. It should be teaching you where to go at, right? Somebody's being resistant. Somebody's a hard-headed student. Because if the Lord say you have the Holy Ghost, and he says the Holy Ghost is a teacher, he says he will do what? Teach you what? All things. And bring all things to your what?
Whatsoever I have said.
That's the truth. That's the truth. 15. And what? 15 and 26.
15 and verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, it says, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me.
What would the Holy Ghost do?
Testify.
Ain't that something? Won't nobody have to put the testimony in you. The Holy Ghost do all the testifying. That's why when somebody receives the Holy Ghost, don't nobody tell them you got the Holy Ghost. Nah. If the Holy Ghost is in you, it'll testify of itself. They get up from that altar, rejoicing, quickening, speaking in tongues as Jesus gives the utterance. You say, somebody say, saints look at them and say, what's wrong with you? Huh? Why are you acting like that? They say, it is Jesus on the inside. How you know it's Jesus? I feel him moving up and down inside of me. Huh? He's doing something to me that I wasn't doing before, right? Holy Ghost testifies of himself. Is that an amen? Amen. Holy Ghost testifies of himself. He don't need no help. 16 and 13.
16 and 13 reads, is that probably when he's the Spirit of truth?
Here you go again. Who is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the what? The truth. Jesus is the truth, saints. Keep going. Even the Spirit of truth.
Uh-huh.
What will he do? He will guide you into what?
He shall not speak of himself.
That shall he. Ain't that something?
And he will show you things to
come. Ain't that something? That's why I say you got to be careful about these folks. That's why I say you don't want to be following behind the wrong one. So you mess around and follow behind that other fella. He could be giving you a whole bunch of, well, I couldn't stay there with Elder Scudder. Elder Scudder was this, and Elder Scudder did this, and Elder Scudder did that, and I didn't agree. Well, you talking about yourself too much. Amen, book. There go the book right there. When you got the Spirit of truth, he does not speak of himself. Huh? Huh? Is that what the book says? He does not speak of himself. Something else he's listening to. Some other anti-spirit is inside of you. Negative. Everything negative. Now I'm just what happened? Did they change? Well, yeah, they changed. What did they change? I don't know. What did we change? The only thing I can look at over these past years that I've been here, the only thing we changed was the address.
That's all.
Message. You don't believe it? Go back and look at the audio. I got plenty of tapes. You're going to hear the same message from day one that you're hearing today.
Amen.
Whether there was no one here but two or three people, or whether the bodies are here right now, it's the same exact message. So you should be saying, what in the world has changed? My children got older. I got older. That's about it. That's the only thing that's changed. The message is still the same. We still calling on the name of Jesus. Souls still have to go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. We still live a holy and a sanctified life. I'm still married to the same woman. Huh? I'm sure I got on her nerves and she got on mine. I can tell you that flat-footed. That's just human nature. But I dare not consider divorce. Huh? How long you going to be with her? Till the death. Till the death. Isn't that something? So I'd rather die with you than anybody. That's the truth. I'd rather die with you than anybody else. Because that's the truth. I don't know if anybody else could have been able to deal with me. That's true. That's true. I just don't believe it. It's got to tell you, I just don't believe it. You know, when the Lord, especially when it's time for me to study, she has to deal with that. Because I'll go and I won't say nothing for hours. Hours, because I'm working. And she know not to bother me while I'm working. Same goal for her. I come up and peep, and I see she got, look on the bed, she got books, right? I dare not bother with her. Leave her alone. You all right? Yeah, I'm fine. What's on? Nothing. What's on back? She's with Jesus right now. Right? Huh? Now imagine somebody else, you won't pay me no attention, I don't understand, you always opening up that book. That's real bad. You done got you an anti inside your house. And how you going to serve the Lord with that spirit of anti inside your house? You be fighting with them till Jesus comes, right? You thought Ike and Tina had it bad. You'd be living in a little war zone. You don't want that, saints. All right? So trust you got something out the word. Remember, how many ways is it? It's only one way. One way to be saved, saints. If you don't come through that one way, Jesus is that one way. Scripture says you're coming in like a thief and a robber. And the writer done told you, if you neglect it, you shall not escape. There is no escape from Jesus, saints, all right? You ought to let the Lord save you. Don't let him judge you. Let the Lord save you, saints. Trust you got something out the word. Hide the word in your heart. You may not sin against Jesus.